Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 481 of the Untitled Wrestling Show. And it's been a while.
Wow, we could go with a Stained reference rather than a Eric Bischoff reference to that 21-year-old, nearly 22-year-old, overdone, beaten like a dead horse meme on this show especially, to that theme song.
We've got a lot of options, really.
Nothing if not timely.
So if my timing's right, I believe CM Punk should be just about to take on Samoa Joe at All In. I bet that'll be pretty good. I mean, it is amazing how the end of 2023 into 2024, you look back and some stuff is the same. And also, hey, CM Punk is back in WWE. CM Punk's got a WrestleMania mania. Oh, no. No, he doesn't. But Cody wrote, no, maybe. There's The Rock. Look, I would not have predicted a lot of things that have happened since our last taping.
TNA. The company went from Impact to TNA.
Wasn't it always TNA in our hearts, though?
They went back to it. I was kind of surprised. And the show overall was a lot of fun. For Bound for Glory, like, that was a lot of fun. Will Ospreay versus Speedball Mike Bailey was a really enjoyable match. The entire show was entertaining. I really adored the intensity of Scott D'Amore's promo after the show was over when they made the announcement they were returning to TNA.
And I'm sure that Scott D'Amore is a featured member of the TNA roster now, right? Right?
We both know that's not the case. Mustafa Ali won the X Division title, and we get to see some new matches with him. So that's exciting.
It's cool. I will say, I understand why he's not doing the like Implosion 450 anymore, but I already miss it. It's like when Ricochet stopped doing the double moonsault. Like, I get it, but also I don't have to be happy about it.
Hey, we also got a bunch of new people in TNA Pro Wrestling. We got Nick Nemeth, the former Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance, Trent Seven, Danny Luna, Brian Myers, Kushida, The Rascals, and Alexander Hammerstone.
Impact, I don't believe now I just naturally call it Impact. After all the years of TNA, like now it's like, but it's Impact. It'd be like if we just referred to it as Global Force for the next couple of years. I think TNA has a very interesting roster. I think there's a lot of cool stuff they could be doing. They're forever hamstrung by being like TNA, but it's kind of cool that overall, TNA is on as much of an upswing as it can be.
The NWA.
Still EC3. Not a thing.
EC3 is the world heavyweight champ.
I truly don't believe there's been an NWA show since we last taped. You say that there has been, and I don't believe it.
In happier news, the reformatting, the UI upgrades, whatever you want to call them, to the New Japan World website and the dedicated New Japan World app. These are phenomenal upgrades, and I'm happy paying a little bit more in an upcharge for the service for just how much better it all is.
That is the opposite of most streaming services, where they upcharge and it just gets worse.
We also saw some title changes, with the never open weight titles being vacated after Kazuchika Okada decided to leave the company. More on that later. Matt Riddle winning the TV title and Nick Nemeth winning the global title.
It still seems strange. Like, I get the TV title changing hands a few times. It feels weird that, like, they made the goal of David Finlay beats Moxley and Ospreay in one match. Then he basically puts Ospreay out of New Japan. And then he loses to Nick Nemeth. Like, I'm fine with it because it's David Finlay, but it just seems weird.
Jack Perry is in New Japan. He ripped up his AEW contract, proclaimed that he was the scapegoat, and has subsequently joined the House of Torture.
House of Torture is running wild, which, I mean, your mileage may vary on.
AEW. We've got a new heavyweight champ, Samoa Joe.
That's good.
Because Adam Cole was revealed as the devil.
3 months after the fact, I think we can all say at least the devil storyline is over.
He also had his crew. Wardlow, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, and Roderick Strong.
This is all correct. I don't really know what their goal is, but at least Roderick Strong has a title.
Kota Ibushi, Deonna Purrazzo, and Will Ospreay are all elite. As is Kazuchika Okada.
Also,
we'll get there. He has Okada joining as a evil, like, smarmy heel. Brilliant. I love it. And the fact that, like, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, like, that transition from the Young Bucks to this new persona really playing up the EVP stuff is so well done. It's so enjoyable to watch. They are so hateable in that role. And the fact then that they, when they welcome Okada and they take the wind out of Tony's sails for being able to, like, go out there and publicize this big signing.
The Bucks are best as being, like, insufferable jerks. Okada is also at his best when he's just being, like, the dismissive jerk who's above everyone. I don't know that they could have done that any better.
Yeah, it's so much fun to see, and I'm excited to see where they go with it.
I mean, it is a shame that Okada's going to kill Kingston, but, I mean, I suppose it has to be done.
We also saw Sting retire from the world of pro wrestling, and I've seen portions of that match with some very heartening moments, very heartening spots involving his sons, and, of course, that hellaciously scary yet awesome looking swanton off the ladder from Darby Allin through the glass.
I appreciate that that's the one that got the moment because it was completely insane. But, like, Sting getting thrown through a pane of glass in his retirement match really is going out on your own terms, and you have to respect that. Also, Revolution is once again, like, going to be a pretty high bar for AEW to top on pay-per-view this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do throughout the course of this year. There is so much good professional wrestling that's out there. AEW, I'm intrigued to see what NXT and stuff does. New Japan, the various indies, TNA signing more talent and bringing them in. That there is so much out there.
It is nice that wrestling on the whole is on that kind of upswing, even if it's not all for me. Like, think about when we started this show, like, was it 2013? And how it was just WWE and mid Ring of Honor and that version of Impact. Like, wrestling is better now than it was 10 years ago for all of its many problems. And there is something to be appreciated about that, at least the on-screen side of things.
And of course, as I think you wanted to get to, the most recent news from Boston, no less. Who is the newest member of the All Elite roster?
Mercedes Moné finally showed up.
Yep.
I mean, Ospreay, Okada, Moné, back to back to back is an impressive, like, group of signings to add to the locker room. And depending what they do, like, Dynasty could be a heck of a show. Because if they do swerve Joe as the title match, you've already got Ospreay Danielson. You give Mercedes a big match, you give Okada a big match. Like, that's already a crazy loaded show, and they still have such a kind of deep roster to work with.
And I know Matthew and Nicholas Jackson kicked Omega out of the Elite. Did they kick anyone else out of the faction?
They did also kick the Hangman out.
I wonder if we're going to get Hangman, Omega, and a third party for a trios match.
My guess is once Kenny heals up, that's the way it'll go. And honestly, I know people are like, they've got to do Okada, Omega at All In. And depending on if Kenny's ready to go, I really think the six man is probably the way to go with Ibushi, Page, and Omega versus the Bucks and Okada at their big show, and then see how Kenny's actually feeling after the diverticulitis. Just because, I mean, remember when Brock came back from that, and like, it was still kind of touch and go for a while.
WWE, Nick Aldis is the SmackDown GM. We also got the fun treat at the Royal Rumble. The surprise from Jordynne Grace in the Women's Royal Rumble match.
That one makes sense to me, kind of, because, like, they're in your match and it's in, like, front of all of your production, and she only has to be in there for, like, a couple of minutes. Shayna Baszler to GCW feels way more notable and weird.
I appreciated her Warhammer reference. Now, noted, Shayna Baszler is a big fan of Warhammer. Like, at the show where she turned on Ronda Rousey, if you look at her gear, if I recall correctly, her gear was also from another Warhammer homage to the Horus Heresy when the Horus Legions committed their heresy. So I appreciated the Warhammer reference being brought into this too. And it's a unique surprise, and I'm going to enjoy it for a fun, unique surprise.
And I mean, this comes after the Charlie Dempsey to All Japan and whatever that led into. Like, WWE is in a weird place, and I have no idea which way it's going to go. It's interesting. Any chance to see those wrestlers outside of WWE immediately kind of perks my interest, because it removes a lot of the problems I have with watching them in WWE. I don't know, because, like, they said there's going to be more than just Shane. It was like a few wrestlers are going to be in GCW, and this is something that we've never experienced.
I mean, outside of those Evolve shows where WWE talent, NXT talent particularly, were showing up.
Yeah, but that's because there was basically a developmental by the time they did, because they were paying Gabe at that point.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, GCW has not been bought out, so this is actually WWE people doing indie shows.
We got Sean Spears, Brian Pillman Jr., and Jade Cargill arriving in WWE and NXT, respectively.
Eventually, they should do something cool with Jade. The other two are fine. Like, they are present in NXT.
And after who knows what happened, CM Punk ends up being out at AEW. He returns at the Survivor Series and gets injured during the Royal Rumble. And as you mentioned earlier, will miss this year's WrestleMania.
Come on, Punk. Keep it together. You can do it.
And Cody perhaps gets to finish his story at WrestleMania after winning the Men's Rumble.
Okay, now hear me out. Yes, it makes sense that Cody loses. They're going to lose on night one in that tag match with Bloodline rules, no DQ. And Cody's actually not going to be a moron, and he's going to have everyone ready to counter, like, the constant Bloodline interference. So Sammy and Kevin can interrupt some of the interference. Whoever else he wants can run in and do something. But what if Jey Uso turned on Cody and Roman stayed champion?
I'm in.
It feels like Cody has to win, but I said that a year ago.
I'm also intrigued to see Bayley get her shot. And the story surrounding this has been so intriguing that a lot of the baby faces, like Bianca Belair, have talked about, like, no, man, she made her bed. She can lie in it. Like, yeah, she got turned on by her entire group and there's nobody there to defend her. And like, yeah, we're not going to go defend her. Like, she made this bed. She can lie in it. But also realizing that, like, what she did, like, the error of her ways and trying to make that right. I'm really intrigued by the nuance of this story.
You say nuance. I say this is classic Mike Quackenbush. The baby faces are just dicks booking.
Hey, it's nuance to me because, like, it appears that she is trying to start making amends in some sort of way for all of her heelish actions and realizing the error of her heelish rationales.
Look, there are three ways it can go. Either eventually she does, which is the way it should go. It could go the Mike Quackenbush way, which is, no, the babyface are just going to say, I don't care what you do. Or it can go the Alex Shelley Gen Next thing, where it's like, all right, fine. I'm just going to stay a bad guy. Take that.
And we also have the WWE Hall of Fame so far. The U.S. Express, Muhammad Ali, Thunderbolt Patterson, Bull Nakano, and Paul Heyman.
I hope they give Thunderbolt a live mic.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens with the, like, with this class, if they're going to announce any more with this class. It is very much a harkening back to a lot of the early era, like Muhammad Ali at WrestleMania 1. Thunderbolt Patterson, who had a wide influence on a whole number of wrestlers. The U.S. Express, it seems odd that they're getting in for the U.S. Express, but the two wrestlers in the U.S. Express had very extensive WWE careers. And then Paul Heyman. This man has been in wrestling for over 30 years at this point.
This man has bounced more checks than just about anyone in wrestling. Just about. I think Heyman's an interesting one just because it feels like they're doing it because they're in Philly. I do wonder if it means Bloodline is wrapping, and Heyman is finally going to kind of wind down being on screen. Because otherwise it seems like you would wait on the induction until after, like, whatever they were doing to the Bloodline was over, and he was more, like, formally retiring, just because it's not like Paul Heyman's going to leave at any time. Like, if you want Paul Heyman to be there, he'll be there. So I'm kind of curious about what the behind-the-scenes machinations are on this, or if it's just, we're in Philly, that's Paul Heyman City, this is where we've got to do it. Also, and Bull Nakano's just cool.
Yeah, Bull Nakano is great.
I mean, she's kind of like the Inoki induction, where it's like, yeah, she had a little bit in WWE, but like, she's just getting in for being cool. Like, you put her on a t-shirt and people are going to buy it.
Especially with the hair. She has some epic, epic hair for some of those matches. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
I know.
The absolutely standing up straight, just amazing. And GCW, the collective, the Indie Hall of Fame, the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. So far, we have Trent Acid and the Briscoe Brothers being announced for the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame.
They both make sense.
Absolutely.
It kind of sucks that this is how the Briscoes are going in, but it's a cool way for them to be honored.
I would absolutely concur with. Now, we do have an episode from months back. About 6 months back at this point.
I mean, it's probably okay.
That is in the can. I'm going to give it a once-over. See if it still stands up. And if it does, we'll release that after this one. If it doesn't, we'll just re-record it and put it out there in a few weeks for you. But it has been a while.
It's good to be back.
And better than ever.
Nothing if not topical.
Nothing if not timely. We will talk to you all again soon.